Well, this morning, I'm so glad to be here. I was here about 6 weeks ago, and you know, I have quite a few connections here at First Baptist, but one I was reminded of was that of my second grade teacher, one of my second grade teachers from, it's been a few years back, three or four anyway. It was the best 10 years of my life, second grade. But I'm kidding, I made it in five. But she Facebook messaged me after that Sunday, and she gave me a good solid C+, B- right in there. So apparently it was good enough. Mrs. Visor, thank you for that. It was good enough to get invited back. So I'm so pleased to be back with you guys this morning and to see your smiling faces. It's just it's an awesome thing, especially to have so many of you smiling at before 9 o'clock in the morning. That is a miracle. We've seen a lot of miracles this week, have we not? I mean, the Royals, the Chiefs. I mean, it's been an incredible week of miracles this week. Well, this morning, I want to bring you an encouraging word, and I hope that when you leave here, even though we see how in life we're going to have tough days, we're going to have trials and tribulations, even when we experience those and see those in our life, we can trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that God ultimately has our best interest at heart. And when I say ours, I'm talking about as a church collectively, as the whole church, the big church, even those that are worshiping in other places this morning, and I certainly hope that they are blessed as well. But even individually, God has our best interests at heart. You know, we all have bad days. We do. In fact, I remember, it's been almost 20 years ago, it was a November day, 1994. I was just leaving the house, it was about 11 o'clock, and I worked second shift for the Emporia Police Department at that time. And I headed into town to pick up my wife for lunch. She was teaching at the Emporia Christian School. I picked her up. We did this on maybe once a week, you know, just to connect and make sure everything was going okay, because we didn't see each other much in the evenings because I was working. And we went to Carlos O'Kelly's. It was a place we'd go to frequently because my wife enjoyed it. But we went on that day, and it was kind of a gloomy day. It wasn't the brightest day outside, and we had lunch. And I remember, you ever sit next to those people at a restaurant? Probably most of the people that sit next to me feel this way. But I was feeling this way on this particular day, that we were sitting next to these people who were singing the songs that were coming over the loudspeaker in the restaurant. You ever sat next to those people? You know, just seem to be happy no matter what, and you just want to smack them a little bit. Well, that's what was happening, and they were singing all the words to this song. And to this day, I can't. If that Garth Brooks song comes on the radio, I turn it. It's horrible. Anyway, we had nice lunch together, and in spite of all that, and I drove my wife back to the Christian school there in town where she was teaching at that time, fifth grade, I think. And then I went into work. Got all dressed, you know, put everything on, got myself ready, and got in my car after we had roll call and everything, and I hit the street, so to speak, you know. And my particular area of Emporia that day was the west side out by the high school. So I'm driving around by the high school, and it was just one of those things. It was a fluke. I just happened to pull into the high school parking lot just to give it some patrol when one of our bicycle officers, they didn't let me ride a bicycle, maybe for obvious reasons, I don't know, they put me in a car. But anyway, I'm driving through, the bicycle officer gets my attention and he points to this car, and all of a sudden that car took off. So I took off and chased after it. We drove through neighborhoods, we drove on major roads. We were driving all over town chasing this car that happened to be stolen. And it was full of gang members out of Wichita, actually. Well, about 15 minutes into the chase, I come to this intersection where I was T-boned. My car went flying in the air. It was, I guess, really something to see. I don't know. I pretty much went to sleep right when the lady hit me, apparently. But the stories and the pictures, they really tell a good story. And when I woke up, I remember later that night, I was laying in a hospital bed and my wife was there. Someone had to go pull her out of school and bring her to the hospital. And I remember laying there thinking, my life as I know it is over. Everything is about to change. I'm probably going to lose my job. I didn't know. I was a little bit loopy. I really didn't know what. I didn't know how it all happened. I wasn't sure. I was very insecure. I didn't know what was going to come next. And I'm thankful to this day that even then I had a faith in a God who loves me and cares about me. That I have a faith in a God that was willing to come alongside me and put his arms around me and say, Jason, no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. So the worst day in my life at that time, a day when another guy came on the radio and told everybody, I listened to the dispatch tapes, told everybody that I was dead after he drove past me in the police car. The worst day of my life was also the best day because of what God does for us and with us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that we are a God, that you are a God that we can trust, that you are a God that we can put our faith in, that you are a God we can come to know in such an amazing way through your Son, Jesus, that you are a God who cares about even the smallest things in our lives, that you are a God who is living, that you are a God that invites us to the table. That you are a God who are willing to come alongside us even on our worst days and remind us that it's okay. Thank you. Thank you, God. Through Jesus we pray, amen. Well, this morning our text is from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. One of my favorite texts, and honestly, it's a great reminder of what God is doing in our lives, even in the midst of troubles, even in the midst of hardships. God is at work. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just to set this up a little bit for you, some of you probably know that this church here, this group of believers, they really struggled. They really did. They had a hard time loving people the way people should be loved. They had a hard time really following Christ, really surrendering themselves completely to what God, to God's call in their lives. They struggled with this. This was very hard for them. In fact, if you remember the first letter in chapter 13, they had to be corrected about love because they were so poor at caring about each other. So often, really, they were just kind of living this life of cultural Christianity. They would go into fellowship because they knew that was the right thing, but then they would leave and almost check their faith at the door on their way out. So oftentimes, Paul would write to this church, to this group of believers on a larger scale, and remind them how they are to live. He would give them instruction. And in this situation, he gives them actually a word of encouragement, a word of reminder that even though this world will bring us trouble, it will not overtake us. So read along with me, starting with verse 6 of chapter 4. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Praise God for that, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Jars of clay. This is actually a flower pot, as most of you probably can tell. It's kind of hard to find a jar of clay today that truly represents what Paul probably would have been talking about. This beautiful vase down here, a little too much decoration. The jars that they probably that Paul was probably kind of pointing to and maybe even looking at as an imagery for himself, even in the imagery of his writing, was probably very simple and plain. Probably had a rope around it so they could use it to carry water. But he gives us this incredible imagery of a jar of clay. Very simple, but it's really very complex. So I want you to think about this with me. This particular jar of clay, it represents something, but it really isn't used to its full potential until it's filled up, true? It absolutely has no value in and of itself. It is used to carry something. And usually something very important. Something that to us really shows that we covet what's inside of it. But the jar itself is really nothing. It's a very simple piece of pottery. And it has no value, really, until we put in it what's important. You know, here in Augusta, maybe some of you guys do this, I don't know, but downtown we have an Adopt a Pot program. Have you ever heard of that before? Where they have those flower pots downtown, and people can adopt a pot and then put their flowers in it. And at the end of the summer, there's a reward, a ranking for those who decorated, the person who had the most beautiful pot and the most well-maintained. They win a prize for having that, and I think there's actually several different phases to it. The pots themselves are nothing. They sit out in the elements all year round. They have really no value until someone adopts them and puts in them the beauty of the flowers and the plants. That's when they start having value. You don't see anybody down there judging those pots in the middle of winter, true? That'd be a waste. It's nothing more than dirt and maybe a few weeds in there left over from the summer. But it's nothing. No value. Think about a car. You go and purchase a car, a $50,000 car. You can buy, I was looking at a truck the other day, $65,000 for a truck. I just about had a heart attack. But that car will do nothing until you put $3 worth of gas in it. Isn't that something? The car is valueless until you put in it what's important. So Paul gives us this image. He gives us this illustration of a jar of clay. And I want you to think of yourself this morning as I have an ear problem here, as that jar that Christ fills up. I want you to think of yourself. I want you to look at this imagery and realize that until Christ fills us, we are not living to our full potential of how God designed us. God designed each and every one of us with a purpose. And we will not be used to our potential until we've been used for our purpose. I really want you to think about that. I want you to think about the fact that God is ready to take you as an empty vessel and fill you up. Some days, even as believers, we get empty, we get drained, we get taxed, we get troubled by everything going on in this world, and we become kind of an empty pot again with just a little remnant of Christ. And God says, take heart. Paul reminds the people here, take heart. Even in those times, you will not be crushed. You will not be overcome. God still has you in the palm of his hand. He still cares about you. He's still protecting you. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, in this world you will truly have trouble of every kind. But then he reminds us to take heart because Jesus has overcome this world. We will be we will be pressed on every side. We will have things coming at us. We will be troubled. Even in our own lives, we'll make decisions that bring about trouble. But trust that God has us. Trust that God cares about you. Trust that God is ready to fill you up. That's my pot. Filled up to the point of overflowing. And you know, when I do this, when I did this last night, I was thinking, ice cream. Because I'm a man, and it's food, and that's actually fast foam, so I do not invite you to take a bite. But I look at this pot, and I think about, it's so full that I actually cannot crush it. Now, I'm not the strongest man in the world, but I'm not terribly weak either, and I'm actually applying some pretty good pressure here. When Christ fills us up to the point of overflowing, when we've taken ourselves as an empty pot and said, Christ, I need you. I need your Spirit working. I need that in here. And he fills us up to the point of overflowing. We become what God intends us to be. And we can't be pressed on every side. We can't be troubled. We can even be perplexed. Like, God, what is going on? But we know that the world and the things of this world will never overcome us. The world will never overcome this pot full of ice cream. Amen. Praise God. Pressed on every side. Persecuted. You know, persecuted, things will, they'll pick at us. And they'll try to tear things away. The world will do that. In this world, you will have trouble. Christ has overcome this world. Christ has overcome this world. If they're full, living up to their potential. If we're empty, if we're saying to Jesus, no way, I want no part of you. If we're saying to Jesus, Jesus, I don't think you have what it takes to fill up my pot. I don't think you have what it takes. I'm just going to be an empty vessel walking around because, Jesus, I don't think you have what it takes. This thing becomes of no value. That's a hard reality, isn't it? When we think about the simple fact that until we are living out our life for Christ, living in the purpose of God's design for you and for me, we are nothing. We are broken people. Because what happens when we do that is we allow the world to crush us, to push in so hard that we become broken. This has no value now, does it? But God can take all those broken pieces. He can take them out of the tomb and make them whole and fill them up. Is that not an awesome, simple idea? Isn't it such a beautiful idea? We can't do it on our own. We can't do this. We can't fill ourselves up. If we try on our own, we will always be nothing more than this. Thank God we don't have to. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians. Just want to jump over there real quick. This is an awesome verse. I think we hear about every football team in America say this verse at some point or another. But I want to read before and after it. Philippians 4, starting with verse 12. I love this church in Philippi, I think they really wanted to live for Christ. But even them, they got kind of stuck a little bit. Became a little selfish. And in Philippians 2, Paul reminds them that we are to abandon ourselves completely. that we are to abandon ourselves completely so that we could be filled up with the things of Christ. And then he goes on to say this. Start with me in verse 12. I know what it is to be in need. In need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to have nothing. But he also says, I know what it is to have plenty. And I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He's learned the secret. The secret is, as Paul said, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through Christ who fills me up. I can live my life even in this crazy world where everything is uncertain. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen in the Middle East, even later today. We don't know that when we leave this place, what the future holds for us. I'll share one fact with you, though. You're safe here because I've discovered that over 90% of people leave Bible studies and church services alive, so that's a blessing, right? I don't know why I read that study, but I thought it was interesting. We can do all things through Christ who fills us up. We can overcome when we're in need. We can overcome when we don't have. We can feel God's blessing even in the storm. Jesus said, that not only did he overcome the world, but he leaves us with a peace. That where he is, someday we will also be there. That's where our hope is found. And that's what fills up our pot. That's what fills up our lives. That's what gives us hope. Hope even in the midst of a storm. Even when we don't know what tomorrow brings. Christ gives us hope. He fills us up to the point of overflowing. He fills us up to the point where we know and trust that God's got us. That he's got a hold of us. That he loves us. And that he's going to take care of us. This life is but a vapor, Scripture tells us. But we have hope in what's to come through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, again, I'm thankful for this opportunity to be together this morning, an opportunity to worship, an opportunity to learn together and to grow together. Thank you that we have that freedom here in this country to do that. But ultimately, Lord, thank you that we have freedom through you. A freedom to know that we truly can overcome whatever this world tries to hit us with. That we can be blessed even in times of need. God, that we can be filled up. God, thank you for loving us that much. That even when we experience those troubles and those tribulations, even when we experience that pain that this world has to bring, we know that you care and that you're standing right beside us. Even when we think that there's no hope, you're there to fill us up again. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.